Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. And today we are here on Hope Talks, just excited because I believe that, as the title of the podcast, I believe that this is going to be a conversation that will bring us hope and maybe a little freedom. And today we are joined by no stranger to Hope Talks, Micah Branson. Micah, thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Doing pretty good. It brings me hope to be here.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you have to have somebody before you can no longer call them a guest?
I'm just glad y'all keep calling me back. And we're God glad keeps you're giving available. Me something
yeah.
To marinate on.
It just amazes me how God prepares us. You know, sometimes we're like, you know, what's next? And you have a conversation with someone and you realize that this is what's next. And so thank you, Micah, for just being willing to come in and share your heart with us. And so sometimes there's words that just speak a message to us and cause us to have a different perspective. Like this morning, I was on the way to actually walk with my daughter. And I was a little bit late. I was running behind, and I turned on the wrong road. And I'm like, why did I turn on this road? Now it's going to take me longer. And now I'm behind a beer truck. And I'm just, it's, you know, it's just cruising along. It's not in a hurry. Too early in the day to be in a hurry. A beer truck, I guess. Anyway, so, and then I read the back of the truck. And it was one word, chill. And I said, man, God can even speak to me from the back of a beer truck. It was a great moment. It was just, you know, it was a moment where I had to stop and go, you know what? It's not that important that you get where you get a minute or two earlier. And so, yeah, just words that come to us and change our perspective. And so today we're going to talk about that. And so, Micah, I think that you've had one of those experiences pretty recently. And so we'll just start out if you want to share a little bit about what has come to you in the middle of the night, and we'll go from there.
It's always interesting when God speaks and moves. And for me lately, you know, there's been a lot of things going on this year, involved in a lot of different things, leadership positions here and there, and a chance to be part of different teams of people and walk with different people in life. And that lends itself to some challenges sometimes too. And so I woke up last night at 2:37, which, darn, I thought I was just going to get up and watch the sun come up and drink a bunch of coffee, but not at 2:30. So I go back to bed and kind of ask God, like, what is the purpose here? And I've had some friends that are walking with me that have leaned into, you know, he wakes you up, he's got something to say.
That's right.
And I'm learning to ask, right? So I get this word, benevolence. And in my limited human mind, the only thing I can think of, benevolence and giving. And that's the only framework I had. But clearly, I felt God saying, go and research this word and my heart for it. And when I sat down here with Grayson, what was it that you said first about benevolence?
That God is benevolent to us.
I needed to hear that. And because I had a limited framework, I went and read on the lovely internet that it's an act of kindness or an inclination to be kind. It's the quality of someone who volunteers as long as they don't pay you. Mm-hmm. And so
it's free.
It's yes.
Without expecting anything in return.
Absolutely. And right behind that, the Lord just placed this verse on my heart, and it was Matthew 9:13. Learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifices. I've come to call sinners, not people who think they have God's approval. And this is breathing big time life into me today, because as a leader, we have a lot of opportunities for failure. Or even as a Christian, no matter how long you have walked, there will be things that fall out of your mouth or come out in your behavior that you're like, how is that still in there? Mm. And we focus on our fallings, I think, and forget that, you know, the devil wants us to think that we're not equipped. And that we are inefficient in the positions that we've been put in. But the truth of the gospel is that he didn't come to call people who were perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the fact that we're convicted when we have those fallings is a huge part of the road of the Christian journey, and to have people that will help you in that too.
Yeah, that's, as I was looking at that word, kindness, clemency, goodwill, and you know what you were saying, Grace, and that's what God, you know, that's what God is to us. He is a benevolent God. So what does that look like for Christ in us to be benevolent? You know, that's a, it's kind of sobering, right?
Yeah.
There's almost a weight to that. Yeah. I mean, there is a weight to that. Like, that is, you know, I think of the, you know, we do to others, right, as we'd have others do to us.
That's, yeah.
That idea of what does it look like to be a benevolent person and not be an enabler, right?
Right.
And then we see, I go back to God, how is he with me?
Right.
You know? There are boundaries, and there's, he knows what's good for us, what isn't good for us. But it's an extension of kindness, even when we don't deserve it.
Nothing speaks like undeserved kindness
in
anyone's life. And if I go back and look at this verse transparently, I would say, I've been bringing God sacrifices, and a lot of it, you know, my time or my whatever it is, in the positions that I've been in. And when you make so many sacrifices that you are taking away from your time and your relationship that you're building with him, then you're not able to give that mercy to yourself first and to others.
Yeah.
And that's where I find myself in a season of busyness, exhaustion, you know, just a taking on of a mantle that was never mine to take. And I think there's a lot of people in that boat. As I talk with people, and it could be in jobs, I don't talk to a lot of people these days who are super happy with where they're working, or their coworkers, and there's a general lack of mercy. But I think it begins with our mercy towards ourselves and being human too.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to be a believer that has a heart after God, like David. But David put on sackcloth and ashes because he saw his own sin.
Yeah.
You know, didn't focus on the sins of others.
Yeah.
And that gives me great hope.
Yeah. It's real easy in this world. And if you don't believe me, just go to Facebook, where it's real hard for us to look at ourselves and see any issue. It's with those that think differently or, you know, like it's just, it's everywhere. You know,
it is everywhere, and the devil's bait is the if only. Like, if only I didn't have to work with this person.
Yeah.
If only this would change. But the reality of it is there's a lack of mercy in following the biblical example that was given to us of if you have an issue with somebody, first go to that person,
right.
Christian
right.
love.
Matthew 18.
If they don't listen, then go back with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much. And you mentioned Facebook. There's public shredding, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of leaders. And if there's anything that I have learned that I appreciate as an employee or a leader, it is correction in private and praise in public.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That has
yes.
been a powerful lesson for me, and I've done it wrong.
Me too.
Many times.
Support outwardly, question inwardly.
Oh, wow. I like that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the third step in Matthew 18 is if they don't respond, to treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. And I'm like, oh, sweet. Wash my hands, right? And then the Lord really convicted me in that moment. And, you know, what did Jesus do with the tax collectors and the pagans? He ate with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, all right. That is a whole different, that gives a whole different meaning to, you know, it's, if they don't respond as a believer, can we treat them as a believer? You know, but that doesn't mean we're done. That means our job is different.
Right.
And that we, what did Jesus do? He sat down and ate and
which in their culture is intimate.
Yes. And he engaged one-on-one with, if you could you see the quotes, those people, my air quotes right now, he ate with those people. And it's challenging. You know, we are in a, you know, recently we've been in a sermon series for the one, right? And it matters. It mattered to Jesus. There's how many parables. It's all about relationship and communication. And that's the two things I think the enemy really tries to mess up. I mean, those are the things, right? Other people, relationships with other people, and he can give us thoughts about people that aren't even true. And sometimes we take the bait and we're caught hook, line, and sinker, right? Like, we take that bait and he hooks us. And maybe I'm the only person in the world that this happens to, but instead of being benevolent, I can take the bait and of offense, or the bait of believing that I know what someone else is thinking, which I don't ever know what someone else is thinking. But all of a sudden, I've already made an argument up in my head. You know, like, that's what the enemy wants to happen. And I will never forget, we were at a pastor's retreat, and I think it was Pastor Adrian that said, you know, sometimes we just need to walk across the hall and have a conversation. And that's not easy. But the reason, there has to be a reason that we have this aversion to doing that, because we already are thinking in our mind that it's going to go terribly, right? Like, where'd that thought come from? Because God wants us to be in community, to be in relationship, and to be benevolent with one another like he is with us. And some of the best conversations I've probably had are those difficult ones. Have they all went perfect? No. But I think God honors when we're willing to talk with somebody, not about somebody.
Absolutely. And do you notice that when you have those conversations, they're never as bad as you think they're going to go in your
never.
Head?
Yeah.
It's like Abraham and Sarah, and he's like, they're gonna take my wife and they're going to kill me. And so I'll just tell them she's my sister.
That's
right.
Right.
And if he'd have just told them the honest truth,
they'd have trusted him more, right? Yeah. Let's just tell the truth from the beginning. Mm. And God's kindness and his benevolence for us, he has laid out the roadmap for how to deal with relationships, marriage, all the things. And we continue to ignore it. I think, I don't want to say 100% of what I see and hear and deal with personally at work or outside of that, even in my own family, could be dealt with by God's design of go to that person. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes to you and, you know, is, yes, it's nice to be a listening ear, but the wise counsel and the biblical counsel is go to that person. Mm-hmm. You know, five other people creates a bee's nest. Going straight to that person creates trust.
Yeah.
And that trust gets betrayed when you go to everybody but that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devil's Bait of Offense takes root.
Yeah.
Which is a great book, by the way. Mm-hmm. Bait of Satan.
Yes.
And the
John
Devil's
Devere.
And the Devil's Bait of Offense was the one that will stick with me forever, because mm-hmm. you have to look at it through the lens of, am I taking the bait?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Am I making this about me?
And recently I had the thought of, you know, talking about the person as if they're in the room. That's kind of a way to look at it to help, you know, if we think that they're in the room, even if they're not in the room, if we talk about them like they're in the room, then we might say things a little differently.
That is a beautiful place to come from, because it's putting that person first.
Well, so often, if they're not in the room, there's no argument. You know, there's no, they can't defend themselves. And it can be a total misunderstanding. And the other thing that happens from that, not only does it harm that relationship, because it will more than likely get back, you know, that there's been a conversation. The other thing that happens, and I think sometimes we have to have a place to process. So that's a whole other, I'm not going there, but there's when it will come back.
There's a place to process and ask it, am I looking at this from the right angle?
Right. So the other side of this is, you know, we think that we can go and have a conversation with someone else and process it. And what we don't know is what that person is carrying themselves that day. And second, it's not biblical. But what happens is there becomes a secondhand offense because we've went and talked about it to someone else. And now they're offended, and when they see that person, they don't know how to engage with them. And I think that is, there's a reason why Jesus said, if you have an issue with someone, go to them. And I've not always done this right. And I've caused pain in my life. I've learned this the hard way, and we're all a work in progress. I don't perfect it, but I know exactly what God calls us to because I have created secondhand offense before in my life, you know, like, and that's not okay. There's reasons that we do use biblical models, because they work, and biblical principles, in relationship. And Jesus lived them out. We can see it, all through scripture, how he was benevolent in his relationships.
Well, and you're talking about going after the one, you know, sometimes it doesn't look to the outside world like that one is worthy of it, but somebody thought I was worth it and came after me.
That's right.
And God knew I was worth it. He knows everybody listening to this is worth it.
That's right.
And you can be that person that goes after somebody. Been asked before, like, what is it with you and people who are rough around the edges? I loved that question. I loved that it was asked of me because I never thought about it before, but I gravitate to people who don't believe they're perfect.
Yeah.
Because they see God able to work in their lives, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Also, the people who will help you out of the ditch because you got yourself there. You know?
Need a few friends like that.
I've done that before. Let me help you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need each other, like, you know, the saying that we all have blind spots. Mm. Are we on? So there's areas that we don't see, kind of like the Bible. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I didn't mention this verse, but it talks about, you know, why do you point out the sawdust in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? Like, remove the plank first, then you can help your brother or sister that has the sawdust in their eye.
Right. The reality is there will always be dust flying around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ephesians 6 is great. Wish we could go there for the whole thing. But Ephesians 6:7 says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people.
Right. I think that would help us if we'd focus on that, knowing that we're all working for the Lord.
You know, I think if there's anything I have failed miserably in, it is remembering that lately. And I think we all get caught up in that we're working for this purpose or that. But we are really employed here as people to further God's kingdom, you know, wherever.
Yeah, I think that it's really hard to, sometimes we think this person is in need and I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of this need and I'm going to, you know, there is this idea, whether we think about it or not, that there's an we place an expectation on a return. And then when that person doesn't return, what we felt like we did for them, that's not reciprocated, we can get really upset, you know? And if we're doing it for the Lord rather than people, benevolence is, it's goodwill. It's not an expectation of return.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a benevolence program that is monetary at the church, and I mean, I think most churches have that, where we can help people. And a lot of times they'll say, you know what, I'll pay you back. Benevolence isn't something you pay back. We do that out of goodwill. And that's easier to kind of see what that looks like when you're writing a check, because you give that with no expectation of return. But humanly, there was a situation where I had someone... They had something they were going to give someone, and they said, you know, when you can, I want you to pay me back this amount of money it was to buy this. And they're like, yeah, I'll pay it. And the next thing you know, the payment doesn't come. And that can cause really hard, you know, it's hard to work through. But if we give what we give out of, this is what we know we're supposed to do. And yes, I'm not saying, hey, loan all your money out and don't expect it back. I'm not saying that. But why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we, as believers, you know, another one I would say is sometimes there's people that are hungry along the road. What do we do with that? They have a sign. What does benevolence look like in those moments? And obviously, the Holy Spirit has to speak to each one of us what that looks like.
And as far as God's benevolence to us, and we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, sometimes it's God allowing us to go through tough situations because we've made a mistake and we need to learn from our mistake in order to come out stronger and better on the other side.
And getting the priorities mixed up. Yeah. I will tell you that I have learned from my sister-in-law that God will speak to you, continue to speak to you in terms that of things that are important to you. If it's finances, you will keep getting the financial lessons, right? For me, it's relationships. If you keep putting your relationships with people ahead of your relationship with God, you are going to continue in his benevolence to walk in those lessons. Yeah. And it will burn. And it does.
Yeah, he's okay with giving us a lesson more than once.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But we are, as believers, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, you know, in situations as to how to respond and how not to respond.
He desires mercy, not sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could walk in his mercy. And that's the model that we've been given. Mm-hmm. And if I look back over my life and think about the trail of mercy that he had given me when I was walking with 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world, or probably 2 feet in the world for a lot of years, he no less pursued me then than he does now.
That's right.
And now the bait, if you will, is, oh, Micah, you're deeply involved in the church and you're somewhat of a leader here and there and you help behind the scenes with these ministry things and you should be perfect. And the reality of that is I fall all the time. And continually relying on that mercy and realizing he wants me to give that to others in an overflow of his love. He doesn't want me to come to church. He wants me to come to church, don't get me wrong. He doesn't want me to come to church, check all the boxes, volunteer here, there, and everywhere. He wants to see that benevolence lived out in my life.
Yeah. It's a living out of that overflow of what he's done for us. Right. And, you know, we said this earlier, too, that we tend to judge others of their worst actions and judge ourselves by our best intentions. And that's not a benevolent response either.
As y'all were talking, I was thinking in the term of benevolence, you know, and we're talking about God and his benevolence to us, like we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, so he was benevolent to us. So benevolence, I think, is part of being the hands and feet of Jesus. We're showing that mercy and grace that he's shown us. We're showing that to others. And it's not because we have to, or even that we should, but we get to. And now that's easier said than done, especially with all that's going on in life. And, you know,
as he is certainly a benevolent God, which is his kindness and his mercy towards us, but that does not mean that there's not consequences, that there's not boundaries. You know, like he doesn't, you know, just, yes, he, there is expectation.
Wise as serpents, as innocent as doves.
That comes off my lips almost every day because, you know, that's what Jesus said when he sent the disciples out, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And, you know, there's this in benevolence doesn't necessarily mean that we give everybody everything that they want or need. That is not benevolence. And I love what my friend Jason Tuggle said one time. We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and he was talking about kindness. And he said, kindness is the type of kindness that leads to repentance.
Right.
And it gave me a whole different, like my world just opened up when he said that, like, wow, you know, isn't that what God calls us to? Our benevolent God, isn't that what he calls us to? He wants us to live out of that and not, well, we have a benevolent God so we can do whatever we want. No, he calls us to account and gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to live a life of holiness and a life of godliness, to live outside of temptation. Does that mean that we're never tempted? No, Jesus was tempted. You know, thing about us is we have sinned. Jesus didn't. And so that's a, it's not just all cut and dried and say, hey, we can be benevolent and give everybody what they want and everybody can give us what we, no, that's, we have to have the mind of Christ and we have to be wise. And being benevolent isn't always about just being what we would consider kind. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he loves us where we are, but he loves us enough not to leave us there. You know, like the woman who was going to be stoned, you know, he said, who here is left after they all, they said, you know, you that haven't sinned, throw the first stone. And then they all left. And he said, who condemns you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. So he wasn't, you know, he had mercy on her, but he also was telling her, basically, you need to seek forgiveness. You need to change the way you're living.
Yeah, he said that often to people that he healed. You know, I think about the woman at the well and, you know, just how, you know, scripture says that he had to go through Samaria. Well, let me tell you, all the Jews went around Samaria to get to Galilee. I mean, they crossed the Jordan so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. But the scripture says that Jesus had to go through Samaria, and that word had there that they use in the Greek has to do with salvation. He went there because there was someone lost. There was one person that he had his, he knew where to meet her at noonday when none of the other women would be at the well, because there was too much shame in her going at the time when everybody else went. And so he meets her there and he shares the truth with her. And, you know, she sees herself in all of her past, and he saw her as not who she was, but who she was. And, you know, I love that story of God being benevolent to her, right? Mm-hmm. He was honest. He laid it all out. He told her about the living water, and she goes back to her town. And what happens? The field, it says in that, some translations say, Jesus says to the disciples when they get back, look, the fields are ripe for harvest. But some translations say the fields are white for the harvest. And I'm like, what's white? You know, what is white? What crop is white? Cotton? I don't think they're growing cotton. I just don't think that's what they grow in the Middle East, but I could be wrong. And so I, in doing some research and digging, the Samaritans always wore white robes when they went to worship. And she had went back to her town and she had shared Christ with them. She shared about the Messiah and she brought that town back and they were saved.
Yeah,
and that is it. Yes, he was going for the one, but there was so much more than that. And that is the grace and mercy of our God. When we are looking at the one, like who is one that, you know, we may reach, but we don't know what that person might do.
Who they can reach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is a, we just have to do what God's calling us to do and not be afraid to have the conversation. Because that is what the enemy does, is he causes us to have fear and anxiety. And in actuality, and I've had a few of these conversations in the last few days, and let me tell you, God has met us, and there's been folks that have surrendered their life fully that have ran for years. I mean, God is doing a work, and it took courage to walk in the room. But we don't walk in alone. We walk in with a benevolent God who gives us what we need, and he will supply the needs of those that are around us too. And sometimes it's through us that he works, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But well, we just have to do our part.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Micah, any final thoughts before we close today?
Thanks for letting me pinch hit anytime. It just turns out that the Lord will speak if you ask him. Glad to have the conversation today of all days. It's by no mistake, and you all have filled it out gracefully.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as we've talked with Micah today on the topic of benevolence, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.